And now, Sports Day with Jared Healy and Sam McClure. For Kia's EV6 and Sportage, Cars of the Year. And Red Energy. Moving house? Call local energy retailer Red Energy.
Fritsch comes thundering out in a Lions. Play on the call. Here's Bedford from the pocket with the banana. Oh, yes!
Long ball. Mackay and Curnow both there. Curnow at the back. Kicks his fourth. And gives the Blues a 26-point break.
Long searching handball out in the path of Prestia. Knocked it on, and Prestia was felled
by Tom Stewart.
And out, Tom Stewart got him. He hasn't moved.
I reckon he's been reported, Tom Stewart.
He has not moved, Prestia.
Jeremy
and then
Cameron.
A high ball inside the 50. Henry's brought down the mark. Wow, what a grab it was.
Silence outs. What an all-time great AFL rounds. Finishes with a classic.
7 minutes past six. Hello, welcome along to Sports Day post round 15. And what a round of footy it was. Melbourne reasserted themselves as many of those around them crumble. Clearly they are the best side in it. And if there was any doubters, they were expunged over the weekend. St Kilda, well, what the hell was that? They looked flattened. They looked dispirited, as if something had knocked them off their feet going into the match. And Selection Thursday perhaps forewarned that not all was hunky-dory. Three stars out of the team. After their worst performance of the year last week, Brett Ratten promised a response. Well, they responded by plumbing a new depth. The coach looked gutted, and he deserved to be. Brisbane, also without their best team in, but far more spirited, even though they too were blown away. But it wasn't anywhere near as bad as the Saints. But clearly, they need their best side in it to be competitive at the top. They have a lot of work to do to be a genuine premiership threat come September. What about the Pies? They were great. So too were Geelong and Richmond, for that matter. 17 points up with just a few minutes of play remaining. They'll rue that, but show that they are right in the mix. But Carlton, without doubt, with a big move. It's exciting times now for the Baggers under Michael Voss, and it's not just now. It has been all season. They are one of the great stories of the year. I didn't think they'd win. I thought they had too many injuries, so they put to bed the challenge from the Dockers, and they go home having to reconsider. If they want to match it at the top, they're going to have to bring a much better game than that to Melbourne next time. But finally, the send-off rule, my old favourite rule. Once again, an incident occurred on the weekend that shows the folly of the game continuing without the umpires having the right to send off AFL players for incidents that clearly there is no discussion about. Come on, Brad Scott, you've only been in the chair 6 months. I know you don't want to rock the boat yet, but it's got to be on your agenda for next season. And the minute Gil walks out the door, act swiftly. Scoop, welcome to you.
Hello, Jared. Happy Monday.
133693 is the number if you want to join us on the Spinalese, on the Harcourt's open line with a Spinalese pillow to give away.
What a weekend it was.
It was a beauty, wasn't it?
You know I disagree with you strongly about the send-off rule. I think there's no room for it in our game. I think it wouldn't work. I think the delineation between what's deliberate and what's not is too difficult. Perfectly symbolised by the fact that Michael Christian graded Tom Stewart's incident as careless and not intentional, and yet you want to send him off for it. I'll never be able to agree with you on that. But you're the legend of the game. I'm simply an observer.
The grading doesn't necessarily mean you don't do damage significant enough to go off.
So where do you draw the line?
I don't think he intentionally meant to hit him in the head. So intentionally.
Where do you draw the line?
I draw the line on the outcome of this if it is an illegitimate act.
Okay, so anyone that knocks someone out spends the game off
the ground.
Not anyone,
because plenty of people get knocked by accidents. I mean, don't...
What if someone...
Don't deliberately confuse this. This is quite a simple argument.
I'm not. I don't think it's a simple argument.
I think it's very simple. Things have to be... The bar for the send-off rule has to be so high that there's no confusion. There wouldn't be a person in Australia that wouldn't send Barry Hall off.
I agree.
There wouldn't be a person in Australia who wouldn't send Andrew Gaff off, or Toi Vekery off, for that matter.
I agree on that.
And I think also on this case, even though there may not have been intent in his mind to knock him out, that's what he did. He went against the rules. He ran past the ball.
Which is no rule. You said you can't go past the ball.
But you're not allowed to bump a guy off the ball like that. And if you do that...
You can bump a guy fairly off the ball.
It's a free kick. And if you hit him in the head and knock him out, you are responsible. It's a 3 or 4 weeker, and I think we're smart enough now to realise, as Chris got raised on the weekend, what's the point of penalising the next 3 or 4 clubs? Because they don't get to play against Tom Stewart, or in fact, What's the point of advantaging them and not penalising the Cats against Richmond, who lost their player? It makes absolutely no sense to me. It never has. There's only been three or four. There would never be an argument about a red card because the red cards...
Of course there would be, Jared.
No, there wouldn't, Scoot.
Because you're not deciding. If the AFL today announced that Jared Healy was going to be the sole arbiter of the red card rule, sign me up. I'm in. We can't get the deliberate out-of-bounds rule right, and you want to give the umpires the right to send someone off.
They are much more contentious. Every one of these has a person either carried off in a stretcher or helped off without any question that this was an action that deserved to take the player off the ground given up the right for that
particular
What
if Lachie Plowman got sent off last year?
Lachie Plowman's was a very, very arguable case. 50% of the people thought it was a legitimate bump.
And so what if the umpire decided, no, that's a red card? How many weeks would we get through until someone was sent off illegitimately?
I don't think the game was ruined because of that.
I don't agree. I think Tom Stewart's going to get a month, and I think Geelong are feasibly punished for that month that he's going to miss.
Well, you're entitled to your views, as am I, but I've seen four or five incidents in my time that the threshold is so high that the player gives up the right to stay on the ground. It's dangerous for the player to stay
on
the ground.
And I agree with you on all
those
instances.
Andrew Gaff should have been off the ground because it was a dangerous, volatile environment for about 30 minutes before everything settled down.
I agree with that.
Your calls after this man joins us who wants to tell us about... Who wants to tell us about the Bombers? Welcome to you, Lloydie.
Thanks, Jared. Sam, great debate.
Hey, Lloydie.
Great debate. And I can see both sides. I'm with Sam in that the grey one. So all the ones you said, yep, red card, you get it. I think there'll be one that, who are you saying you're leaving it to, umpires or someone up in the arc that makes a decision?
I don't think that's an issue. I think that there's plenty of time. When you've got an incident that warrants a red card, you've got the time it takes for that player to be carried off, usually on a stretcher, off the ground. The umpires could all have a look at it. There's easy to have a TV screen there. You can put it on the big screen, you can put it on the low screen.
So you stop the game?
Well, the game stopped because the guy's coming off on a stretcher.
Didn't.
Well, you could stop the game.
Yeah, but
or the
arc
could do
that.
It.
We don't want that.
Well, why not? This is a significant issue. There's a guy, Dion Prestia, being carried off the ground. The umpires could blow the whistle. If we can stop it 30 times a game... to make sure Crypto Sport gets a mention for whether the ball hits the point.
2 to 3 minutes. 3 minutes we might have to stop a game for.
It wouldn't worry me. Not for an incident as bad as that.
I'm with Sam on that debate. I think there's the grey ones. Like the weekend, are we sending off? So on Tom Stewart, he gets a red card, does he?
I would have given Tom Stewart a red
card. The one where Jeremy Cameron came charging through, I reckon, on Harris
Andrews. That's another one I would have given a red card.
So, but then, as I said, there might be the other one where, I don't know, Paddy Ryder, those ones where they check a player. Do the umpire go off for a minute or two and go, he's fine, he's staying on.
Maybe you leave it to the arc.
Yeah.
Maybe you do that. I'm not
sure.
And
they just come out and they drag them off.
But this is not as simplistic as just saying, there's the odd confusing one. Because he could be sent off the ground straight away, and then a quarter time or half time, he may say, well, we think there's enough intent. Now, you may not have it in the last quarter, but there is, I think, a level of incident that is so dramatically above confusion that that's what you get a red card for. So I don't think there's an issue of who decides it.
Let's go to the calls, shall we? 133-693, Len's in Melton. Kick us off, Len.
Okay, guys, the send-off rule, no place.
Why is that, Len?
But what happened? What happened with Stewart? Stewart was coming in and it ran past the ball. There was another Geelong player going the same way as the Richmond player, and I think he was going in and putting the shoulder to the Richmond fellow. So his teammate could go for the ball that he ran past.
Well, that's what Noddy said. He said he elected to bump and he got him in the head, so he's liable. Len, appreciate your call. Dom's at Burwood.
Hey, Jared. Couldn't agree more with you. I mean, Lloydie said the Paddy Ryder one. Well, no way known would that be. As you said, Jared, if you went through all of them during this year, you might get two where it would be a send-off. You wouldn't show it on the screen because that would start a riot. You'd go upstairs to the arc, and it's the bleeding obvious. Whatever you want to say about Stewart, where he's a nice bloke and it wasn't intentional, the fact that what he did was just so blatant against the rules and the outcome was horrible, it would be pretty easy to decide. And Jared, there'd probably only be a couple of years, wouldn't they? That'd be if there was two, if there
I
was three or four
been
like
five
that,
in 15 then, years.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I reckon you're 100% correct. Everyone then goes, oh, what about the grey? Well, you'd make it so obviously, and as you said, you'd set the bar so high, there wouldn't be a grey area. And I think you're correct. And let's be honest, Stewart ended up being best on the ground, and Prestia stays on the ground, and they probably win.
I wouldn't have sent Stewart off, by the way, if we had that rule in. So we're already at a grey area.
I just saw that vision there. You saw that vision, you wouldn't send him off. Dom.
That's not Barry Hall or Andrew Gaff turning around and belting someone in the head.
No, that's not. But
it's not. Sorry, I just think they're different.
They're slightly different, but that's the result is exactly the same.
The result is the same, I agree.
And I think it's illegal. It's not a king hit, but it was a bump that went wrong. And
a bump that went wrong is very different to looking someone and hitting them across the
Yes,
the
they are, and that's why Barry Hall got eight, Gaff got eight, and Stewart's probably going to get four.
Yeah.
But do they all deserve to be off the field? Absolutely. Dom, you still there?
Yes, Jared.
How you been sleeping?
Oh, you mean as a Carlton supporter? Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, I've got to tell you, at the Spinal Ease, hang on, Jared, the Spinal Ease pillow, yeah. It took ages to get because they had an issue.
Yeah.
I got it and I looked at the thing. This is like a rectangle. It's going to be horrible. It's bloody great. And I used to sleep on a pillow that was about 2 inches thick.
Yes.
It is really, really good. I'm really surprised. I meant to thank you for it.
Okay, good on you. Good on you, Dom. We appreciate it. Jared's tried to give him another prize because he agreed with his point of view. Funny that, Scott.
Dom, stay on the line. You've got a family pass for two adults and two children to visit Melbourne Skydeck. Experience Melbourne on another level, Dom.
Scott's in Frankston. Hello, Scott.
G'day, gents. Hey, Sam, what did you think of the crowd on Thursday night after you flagged off all the Melbourne supporters? They're not going.
Yeah, it was good of them to turn up halfway through, what are we now, June? It's only taken you, 4 months?
How many were at the Richmond-Melbourne game? How many were at Queen's birthday?
Scott, if you want to get out the crowds, let's start at round one. You've been complaining for not being able to see them for a year and 58,000 turned up.
A Wednesday night, a Melbourne home game, which was full of red and blue and no red,
Scott.
Blue and white. There was about 10,000 doggies there because they were still... You said none of us would turn up. You were probably expecting 15,000 after the Richmond Thursday night.
Scott, you've had a poor year. You've had a poor year of crowds.
Scott.
Everyone's had a poor year on crowds. Yeah. Every club had.
You're spot on.
We had 18,000. We had 38,000.
No, it was a good crowd.
Yeah, we don't have as many supporters as a whole as Hawthorn, Richmond, Collingwood, any of those big clubs. We sit somewhere probably around those doggies, probably a few more than North level. We're not going to get 60,000 people every week.
Scott, bottom line is the crowds returned en masse on the weekend, and great crowds right around the country.
You're going to give Scott a prize as well for disagreeing with me?
Are you there, Scott?
Here we go.
Yes, I am.
You disagreed with Sam strongly. I thought you won the case. You've got a Signet Boost Power Bank valued at $60. Signet Boost Power Bank will keep you on your phone, tablet, and bagging scoop for a long,
just on
long
that
time.
That was 1v2, and there was 37,000 there. So
where was that?
Was that Thursday night, Scott was talking about? MCG. Yep. So what was he hoping?
Lloydie, don't upset Melbourne supporters. They get very sensitive.
1v2, 37,000, and Scott's roughing about, is he?
A couple of great crowds around the country, though.
That was great, yeah. And it was good. And I was fortunate enough to be there for Geelong and Richmond, Jared. And at quarter time, I actually said in the commentary, probably the best quarter of football I've seen this year.
Yeah.
And then it just kept going and going and became the best game of the season. It's wonderful.
And the Frio-Carlton game before half-time, that ball was just... Yeah. I think the Sharon's been set free, Lloydie.
Oh, he's come with this.
Why are people still unhappy about the game? They're telling me they're not turning up because of rule changes.
We need to get to a break, otherwise
the game is magnificent.
Lawrence might end me. If you want to, 133693, if you want to agree with Jared or disagree with me, you're guaranteed a prize here on Sports Day. More with Matthew Lloyd after this.
Sports Day with Jared Healy and Sam McClure. For Kia's EV6 and Sportage, Cars of the Year. And Red Energy. Moving house? Call local energy retailer Red Energy.
Nothing I can say now justifies the actions that I showed on the day, but my immediate response was just to make sure Dion was okay. I'm sort of at the mercy of the tribunal now, and as I said, I understand that it was a poor act and a poor decision by myself, but I have to live with that now, and that, I think that's the hardest thing for me.
That's Tom Stewart speaking to both 7 and 9 News today on the way into training. I must say, taking the incident out of it, I thought what Chris Scott said after the game and I thought what Tom Stewart said right there is the only way and the best way to handle it. And that is immediate contrition, hand up, did the wrong thing, whatever the tribunal decides will be the outcome. I thought he handled that very classily today, Tom Stewart.
Yeah, it doesn't make it right, but being there on the day, he was, the moment it happened, he was, the play's going on, he was looking over, he was wanting to get over there just to check in with Dion.
Yeah.
And then the moment Dion was being carried off, he sprinted back over there. Dion and the trainers were in no state to listen to Tom, but he was trying to say, I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. You could see there on the night, the day, what he wanted to do. So knew straight away the mistake he made. And I think 3's not enough. 5 would be heavy, but I'd cop 5 over 3. Mm. So, 4 sits about right, as you said earlier, Sam.
Yep, it sounds like
just had a caller ring through. Brooksy, clearly a Bulldogs fan. He said some of the examples of send-off.
Is this Scragger, Brooksy?
For the last 5 years, indeed it is. Stewart on Prestia. Basha Hurley on Jed Lamb. Bug on Mills. Andrew Gaff on Andrew Brayshaw.
Yep.
Cameron on Harris Andrews, and James Sicily taking Norton's headband off on the way.
Did you think he should have got fined for that?
Bulldog. I didn't like it, to be honest. I just don't think people should go near what other people are wearing.
Yeah, it was an interesting game from James Sicily. I thought he was badly beaten. It was an act of frustration in many ways. He was trying to get under his skin. But, you know, he was involved in a lot of push and shove, and he gave away about 3 or 4 goals with poor kicking errors, and they need him at his best to to be competitive. And they were so exciting for the first 40 minutes of that game, and gee, they fell away badly.
They did, and Liberatore, I thought, turned that
brilliant
game. So Jack Viney on Thursday night, and Liberatore, Jared, I don't know if they got the perfect 10s, those two. Have you got that
Liber
there?
Got 10.
And did Jack Viney get the perfect 10?
Jack Viney got 10.
Yeah.
Sicily did get fined $1,000, by the way.
And Riley West, I thought, was the best game. It was a breakthrough game from him. He got 7 votes, and I think they were absolutely deserved. Sam Walsh got the 10. There's another 10. Liam Baker got 9. Tyson Stengel got 6, and Blitzarv's got 5. Tom Stewart got 4 only.
Did Stewart get 4 from one and 0 from the other?
0 from the other, not unexpectedly.
Oh. So Damien Hardwick's giving him 4 and Chris Scott's forgotten about him? Is that what's happened?
I don't think that's what happened.
Oh, I see.
Jake Lloyd got 10, which he was a very good player on the day. Ollie Florent, one of his better games. And Taylor Walker got 10.
Oof.
Darcy Cameron just continues to improve with 9 votes. And finally, Connor Ozee, he got the 10. I thought Took Miller a little bit generous, him getting the 8. I didn't think it was Took's best game.
We talk about Essendon. I read Mark Robinson's really strong column in the Herald Sun today. I thought he made a fairly poignant point, and that was they got beaten by West Coast, who haven't beaten anyone, on Friday night, and yet no one was really talking about it.
No.
Lloydy, you're pretty careful with the words that you use. You use the word soulless on the AFL website today with Damo. Was there something about Friday night? Was it because it was off the back of a good performance that got
it's
you
just
so
been
flat?
Such a disappointing year, Sam. So St Kilda was a spike the week before, but 3 wins, 11 losses, 78%. Like that's across the year, so you can get up for a week, and then you want to see what happens the week after. And they won a lot of statistics, but still conceded 107 points. They're one of the worst contested ball sides in the comp. They're one of the worst.
Second last.
One of the worst tackling sides.
Last in
tackles. Last in the comp. So what are they? Who are they? What's their brand? What do they stand for?
Ben Rutten continuously says they want to be a pressure team.
Yeah. And remember, we heard Blue Collar. Heard Blue Collar about a month ago.
Blue Collar Bombers.
So what's Blue Collar about all those numbers where they're ranked bottom two, Jared? So
do you buy into all this? You kind of started it. Jared, do you buy into this conversation around they have to look at Clarkson?
Well, if I'm in anybody's shoes that's had a poor season and Alistair Clarkson is available, I'm looking into Alistair Clarkson. I mean, I think that goes across the board. And I don't think that's any shock or horror. And I think the fact that an Essendon man like Lloydy says it gives it a lot more gravitas than if I say it. But Lloydy's worried about his footy club and he's worried about the mix. The leadership of the club, clearly. And I think, it's a brave comment from Lloydy, but it's well-founded, I think.
And I just feel like it'll be another year where they go, okay, we were pretty young. We were a young side. But you got to look deeper than that and go, what is going wrong with us? Why can't we? I look at some of the teams that are growing and what Carlton's done this year, what Fremantle's done,
Collingwood.
What Collingwood's done, the way the Suns are playing. They're improving. You know?
Even though they lost yesterday, it was still the quality of performance.
Yeah. Like Hawthorn are 4 wins. Adelaide are 4 wins, 5 wins, and Essendon are on 3 wins. Adelaide Crows, 5 wins, Essendon are 3. And I made it about Ben Rutten yesterday because I don't like the way they're playing and the brand. But I'm big on this not being an internal review, which the club has spoken about. I'm massive on it being an external review. Yep. So the board says we need an external review to see get to where our football club is at. And so suddenly the CEO can be reviewed. The coach is reviewed. The assistants are reviewed. The development coaches, the recruiting team, the fitness team, and the whole administration. I think everything needs to be looked at at the club to look at, okay, what areas are we going well? And it might come out that the coach is coaching okay, but he's not being supported in certain areas. Yep. But the way they're doing it right now, I'm not sure what they're going to achieve.
The big contrast and the big disappointment, I think, for Ben was they played so well last week. Mm. And they played fantastically well last week. The side that they were playing, perhaps not, you know, they weren't firing as you'd expect. But, I mean, up against the West Coast Eagles, even with their good players back, their form has been horrible. And the Bombers had no right to come back without the 4 points from that one.
No, and again, just I was talking at sixes and sevens with who's the way to defend the ground. And we heard Merritt said, oh, we've worked on it this week and it was better. But then a week later, had all the more inside 50s, yet conceded 107 points. They hadn't done that for 29 games, West Coast. Mm. Kennedy hadn't kicked 5 goals for 38 games. Rioli hadn't kicked a certain amount. Cripps hadn't, but they all did it against Essendon on Friday night, Jared. So that's where it sits for me, and that you can't just keep rolling along with your head in the sand. Things have to be looked at thoroughly and properly.
So what about the way that Carlton did their review, Jerry? Because I know that we were both quite critical about, was it external or wasn't it?
It was always external, Carlton.
Well, no, but it ended up being, if you remember, it was still Luke Sayers and Kane,
leading it.
And Kane Little leading it with Jeff Walsh and, you know, was it Matthew Pavlich and...
But Kane lost his job.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. So at the time I was critical.
I think that was a bit of a spin with Kane being involved, trying to make it, but it was still, look inclusive.
But it was still the president who was ultimately... I mean, that's internal. When the president's leading it...
Yep.
I mean, because I don't mind the argument, Jared, that club administrators and CEOs, their job is to constantly review. Xavier Campbell has told us several times they are constantly...
Yeah, but I guess the issue, Scoop, is it's not so much the name you put on it, it's who is doing the reviewing. And if you get external people to come in, even if it's led by the president of the footy club, at least there's external minds and eyes having a look at it. And I think this has actually been one of the very clever things that the Kangaroos have done. Mm. This is an external review, but it sort of reads like an internal review because Jeff Walsh has actually been a Kangaroo for a long period of time. So... unfortunately, they've lost any relevance, so it's not even being discussed. But it's, I think, a very clever way to get a good look at the whole place, top to bottom.
If Sean Wellman is answerable to his CEO, isn't he? Or not?
No, he's on the board.
No, Sean Wellman's the footy director, he's answerable to the chairman.
To the chairman, yeah.
Paul Brasher.
So I just wonder whether... Yeah, well,
it's easy to fix,
Lordy.
We can get somebody else from externally to go on and... jump on that review. You just got to make your case a bit stronger and you'll get action.
Certainly not me.
All that we know is that Essendon cannot afford to get to 6 weeks into next season and be in a similar position. They need to execute change and they need to do it with some force. Whether that's the coach, whether that's assistant coaches, they need to make a call and they need to make it soon.
And we need to get to a break, Scoop. And after this, I've got to get Lloydie's thoughts on St Kilda.
Good evening. A man has sustained injuries to his upper and lower body after being shot by police at Coburg North late this afternoon. The shooting occurred at 20-5 on Newlands Road near the Coburg Lake car park. Police say the incident is not linked to the bikey shooting on Saturday. More details will be revealed at the police media conference called for 6:45 this evening. Former St Kilda footballer Sam Fisher has appeared in court charged with a series of drug offences, including trafficking methamphetamine and cocaine. His lawyer had argued for Fisher to be released into a 90-day rehabilitation program. His case has been adjourned until July 5th. Victoria's five newest cabinet ministers have been sworn into their roles at Government House. Steve Demopoulos, Harriet Shing, Lizzie Blandthorne and Colin Brooks among those taking on new roles after four senior ministers announced their retirement on Friday. And the Prime Minister has made his first trip on a week-long diplomatic trip to Europe. Anthony Albanese laid a wreath at a memorial before addressing dozens of staff and troops stationed at the Al Minhad airbase in Dubai. More news at 7.
Sports Day for VRGF. To change the way you think about gambling, call Gambler's Help on 1800 858 858. A sports update for Tyre Power. Stocktake sale now on. Biggest brands, best prices.
Welcome back to Sports Day. Matthew Lloyd is in the studio. We've got Lloydie's Top 7 coming up before 7 o'clock. St Kilda today declaring that their out-of-contract coach Brett Radden is their man, according to Simon Lethlean. That's despite a couple of shocking performances. Majak Dorr has today announced his retirement, effective immediately. Well done to Majak. He's been to hell and back, Jared, for different reasons.
Indeed
and,
he has.
Calling time on his career, which is, of course, now at the Demons, made famous by his career at North Melbourne. And Jacob Wiedering to miss one more game, according to Carlton's
that news on
latest
the back of
injury report.
Carlton's upset victory in many respects. They get Jacob Wiedering back into the mix, Lloydie. We'll ask who can win the premiership down the track in this program. But Wimbledon also scoop begins tonight at 8 p.m. And Novak is the opening feature man. He's title defence begins first up on centre court.
Yes, and Nick Kyrgios playing one of the local qualifiers, whose name is Paul Jubb. Kyrgios, of course, didn't play in the French, Jared, but grass is his surface. Interesting to see.
Got a feeling he'll play in the final, this one.
Our Nick, I beg your pardon?
I know you don't think he can get through seven matches.
I thought I felt...
I think he will make the final.
Is anyone listening? Is this real life? What odds would you like, Jared?
I offered Jared a big odds last time.
You gave me 360 to one. I had $10 on it.
You think Nick Kyrgios, for what reason can you justify possibly that he'll play in a final of a Grand Slam?
I think he's probably the second best player on grass in the tournament.
Oh, my goodness.
And I think he was always going to fall in the crack and get up and, I think, get one. This, I think, is going to be his chance to get there. And I'm not saying he'll win it, but I reckon he'll make the final.
So Jared Healy has today announced that Nick Kyrgios is going to win six best of five Grand Slam tennis matches in a row.
You've got to understand, Scoot, this is the weakest Wimbledon draw we've seen in a long, long time.
And you have to understand, Jared, that Nick has said on the record personally by himself that he doesn't think that he can get through many five-set matches in a row.
What Nick says and what Nick is trying to do are two totally different things.
On that, we agree.
We are going to take a break. More with Matthew Lloyd after this. Thanks to Tyre Power.
Sports Day with Jared Healy and Sam McClure. For Kia's EV6 and Sportage, Cars of the Year. And Red Energy. Moving house? Call local energy retailer Red Energy. Matthew Lloyd is here for Macca's. Grab the one and only Big Mac at Macca's today.
Righto, Lloydie, let's get your thoughts about the Brisbane Lions. 3 weeks ago at half time. Against the Saints. 3 weeks ago against the Brisbane Lions, they were looking very much like a candidate for top four.
With two goals up.
Looking very much like a candidate to challenge for a flag at a stretch. But 10 quarters later, they are looking like they don't deserve to be in the finals. Mm.
They were 5-1 and playing great football, beat Geelong. Yeah, who would have forgot that second half where they just ran over the top of them. I was there to watch them against Essendon live, and they were off from the first bounce. They just didn't have any energy spark. Essendon hunted them. And then the ball movement, I think that's a real issue for them, the way they're playing. They play Carlton on Friday night this week, so another big stage for them to see how they're travelling. But, Jared, I just feel they've been really safe. A lot of this has been...
Well, their ball movement's been horrible all year. Horrible. Even when they were winning, it didn't have any brand.
Yeah, yeah, and now it's being a lot about Max King and what he's doing. But as Brett Ratton said after the game, I wouldn't want to be him either. So now it's on Brett to try and fix this, because I think they've brought some players back in. Hunter Clark hasn't looked fit. He's done a couple of games into it. Yep. Bradley Hill's in and out, been inconsistent. Jack Sinclair got sat on the weekend. So they've then got cut out. One of their best players, ball users, got well sat on the weekend. So
and that's going to happen. That's a challenge, and it's probably good to happen early in this part of the year, where he gets another 8 weeks to work through that. Mm. So it's going to happen. If he becomes an All-Australian halfback, he's got to go through those challenges. What the Saints did really well on the weekend was get everybody back. They intercepted more inside 50s than the Swans would like to acknowledge. They were terrible, the Swans, with their kicks inside forward 50. And yet they could do nothing with it. So we don't know whether they're going down the corridor. We don't know whether they're going to widen the ground, make the ground big, all the usual jargon. There's no semblance of what are they trying to do.
Yeah, you're spot on. Like, make the ground big. They're not switching. They're not opening the corridor up. And that's what forwards cry out for. Yeah. And that's a challenge now for Brett Ratton to try and salvage this season, because I think they've got a really tough draw. They're already 10th on the ladder. Play Carlton Friday night. If they'd lose to Carlton, I think it's all over for them this year.
Jared, you in your editorial made reference to the fact that they look dispirited.
Well, they did.
And then also talked about team selection. So three major players went out, all for very differing reasons. Jack Higgins was dropped, which I think surprised quite a few, given that at times he's looked like one of their more damaging players, certainly in the forward half.
Yep.
Brad Hill missed for what the club is saying personal reasons. Mm-hmm. He didn't train Monday or Tuesday. I spoke to the club earlier. They said there's no insight as to whether he's going to play this week. So we're not sure what's going on there. And Paddy Ryder was managed. Now, I know he's 34 and he's had hamstring issues and calf issues, and I know his body's let him down on several occasions.
Yeah, but if he's injured, you say injured. I mean, when I saw that selection, I thought, what are you managing Paddy Ryder for with this big game coming up? I mean, finals are on the line here. And they just did look a bit dispirited, and maybe the players themselves thought, what are we doing? No Hill, no Ryder. Higgins has dropped. When guys like Jack Higgins get dropped, it's a big decision. I mean, it impacts on people. Sometimes you just have to drop people.
Mm.
But Jack Higgins has been, his form's been fluctuating. But so Jack Higgins is a victim of the way the ball's moving.
Were you concerned that there was no response, though, given that that's exactly what Brett Ratton called for?
Oh, if I'm Brett Ratton, I'd be gutted by the response. And I know he would be. I mean, he's a great football person. He'd be flat. Mm. He'd want to know what the hell's going on, and he'd be looking for some answers this week. And a good test coming up against the Blues. And you can't fail those tests, and that's what they didn't look hungry.
No, and that's what Carlton are, hungry, desperate. And Carlton's back line was the big talking point, but they didn't allow their back line to be under pressure, because they smashed Fremantle at the clearance. They hunted and tackled, and that's what St Kilda need to do this week. I thought their ball use, Saints, and their body language extremely poor against Sydney.
Great work, Hummer. We will speak again.
If Nick Kyrgios is $21 to win Wimbledon, that is the worst value bet in sport.
I understand that, Scoop, but I'm happy with the slab I've got on with you for him to make the second week.
He's in an odd space as well, Nick, wearing Balenciaga hoodies into press conferences. And anyway, I'm here for the show. More Sports Day after this with Matthew Lloyd.
Sports Day with Jared Healy and Sam McClure. For Kia's EV6 and Sportage, cars of the year. And Red Energy. Moving house? Call local energy retailer Red Energy. Now on Sports Day, Lloydie's top seven for Kia. Kia's EV6 and Sportage, cars of the year.
Jared, of course I'll still be barracking for Nick Kyrgios.
Don't
accuse me of being un-Australian.
I'm not saying it's un-Australian not to barrack for him, but Jono has just texted in. He's got some inside information. He's going to join us from Wimbledon tomorrow.
Is Jono actually over there?
He's listening.
He's over there?
He's over there.
Can we get TJ on as well?
We have to get TJ on. Anyway, we've got a top seven to get to.
My top seven is players on the verge of explosion.
Okay.
So they're not in the elite category yet, but they're on the way there. They'll be there at some point, whether it's this year or early next year. Okay?
What's
the soon to be elite?
Get there. What does get
there will be
in the all Australian squad?
Yes.
Top 40?
Yes.
Right. He's saying elite.
Yep. So I've got at number seven. Apologies to Archie Perkins too.
Okay.
He's my apology. Jeez. So at number seven, I've got Isaac Rankin, who has had a great 8 weeks of football.
Indeed.
And looks like the penny has dropped. At number six, the Lizard.
Nick Blakey.
Nick Blakey. He's playing wonderful footy.
One of Jared's favourites.
Yep. So he won't get there this year, will he? The Lizard?
I think his form has been... He's been close. He won't be in the All-Australian squad, I wouldn't have thought, unless his last eight weeks was excellent. I'm staggered that he doesn't get tagged more. Mm. I think he's nearly the Swans' most important ball mover.
Oof. Number five may make the squad this year, Jared, and that is Todd Marshall. So just starting to kick threes and fours every week, Todd Marshall.
Good enough year to make the squad?
He's around, I'm trying to see if he's...
How many goals he kicked?
Yeah, he's not in the top 10 leaderboard, Sam, so you're probably right.
He needs to explode, I think.
His recent form has been very good.
At number four is Carlton's De Koning. Sam?
Yep.
So I think
that's Tom.
Tom, is it? Sorry.
Sam is Geelong's.
Big fan of him. Glad you've finally got on board, Lordy.
All right. So at number three, I think without... gone there. I think Luke Jackson will go to a new level like we saw the other night. Okay. Sometimes you can sit behind others and I think that'll be... this is where the list came from, my number two, Connor Rosie.
Mm. So last two weeks have been superb.
And he's been in the coaches' votes about five or six times. Mm-hmm. So you said Tom is Carlton's. Well, number one is Sam De Koning of Geelong. I think he's the next big thing in football.
Can you be that as a fullback, Lordy?
Well, I think they should be. So I think they need to be recognised, and I think that he could be All-Australian squad this year, potentially make it.
And you're on prime time at about 8.30 tonight.
8.30
on Go.
On Go, yes. Wimbledon taking priority tonight. Nick Kyrgios taking priority tonight on his way to a Grand Slam.
Is Kyrgios on tonight? I think he's on tomorrow.
He's on his way to a Grand Slam, Lordy. You're on board.
I'm on board with Jerry.
Even with 360 to 1.
Of course you are. Night, everyone. You are listening to Sports Day. We're here thanks to Beaumont Tiles. If you're running a small to medium business as a builder, renovator or tiler, Beaumont Tiles wants to help you. Big hour coming up. Frank Panisi to join us for the Melbourne Storm. New South Wales sending Origin into its deciding third game. Gee, they smashed Queensland, particularly in that second half. We're going to talk to him about that. We're going to go through all the big issues from football and plenty to say. There are lots to talk about in the round 15 wash-up. And, Jared, let's go all the way back to Thursday night where Melbourne, it would seem, found a way back.
Well, they didn't just find a way back, Scoop. They just reminded everybody that they are, without question, the best side in it.
Sorry, I meant found a way back to the top. They are back.
Oh, yeah, they're back.
Yeah.
I mean, three losses in a row. They had lost their way, but...
They started poorly against the Lions as well, which
they did start poorly.
Which I know, it doesn't really matter. But I was watching the first half of that first quarter, Jared, thinking, hang on.
Hello and welcome. Mm. Yeah, no, they were pretty average, but their best, Jack Viney, just led the way. Absolutely
best game in a long time.
Yeah, it's the best two games I've seen him play were one over in the West against the... West Coast Eagles and that one on the weekend where he was just the dominant, most brutal force on the ground and he did it for four quarters. So well done to them. They're the best. It's hard to see anyone beating them. And I reckon if most sides played them ten times, they would win 8 out of 10. So they're the odds, I reckon, for the next best.
Whose best is closest?
Well, we've had this discussion before. I've never thought Brisbane were in that highest end. I think they're probably one level below the best I've seen from three sides, and that is Fremantle, Carlton, and Melbourne.
Yep,
that's the best footy I've seen. Mm-hmm. Melbourne's great asset is that they've got depth. They can lose three or four, and yet they can replace them with serious players. I mean, they've got premiership players, and they've got the captain out of that particular side. They've got Tom McDonald out of that particular side.
Yep.
Whereas Brisbane lose two or three, and all of a sudden they drop down two or three rungs.
Yep.
St Kilda lost two or three, and they dropped down to one of the most uncompetitive performances we've seen for a long time. They just looked dispirited, as I said earlier, and it just looked as if there's... What is going on down there at St Kilda that they could play so badly after playing so well? It just looked as if... Did they have the flu? Was there a problem? I mean, selection, three of their best players weren't playing. Maybe that foretold of a story.
Well, there's the confusion surrounding why Brad Hill... didn't play. We know that when we hear personal reasons that it's hard for us to ask questions. Everyone's entitled to their privacy, Jared, even AFL footballers. But when he doesn't play and then, you know, Paddy Ryder is managed for one of the biggest games of the year and then they play like that.
Yeah. Are you saying the two are related?
You start thinking, well, I don't know. I mean, we can only judge on what we see.
Yeah.
And what we saw, to use your word, was a dispirited team
Terrible.
That I thought would be the opposite after Brett Ratton, who's not one for big statements, lambasted their previous performance against Essendon as the worst of the year. Usually, Jared, when good sides have those moments, they bounce back. The Saints did the opposite.
Well, as I said in the first hour, Scoop, after their worst performance of the year, they responded by their worst performance of the year and plumbed a new depth.
Yeah, Brett Ratton spoke about that after the game.
Good luck to Max. Kick the ball like that to anyone. He'd be Tony Lockett, Jason Dunstall. He had no chance. I felt for him tonight. I thought, you know, he had to wear the brunt of our ball movement and the way that we moved the ball. Yeah, it would have been pretty frustrating. And he's only a third-year, fourth-year player. But we kicked the ball so badly to him. And it's not about him. Let's put Cooper Sharman there or Timmy Memory. Or, it doesn't matter who it is. We didn't kick the ball well to anyone. So I think most of the forwards would be frustrated on our delivery.
I didn't think Max was great anyway, and I just thought that the coach was...
Lordy talked about that earlier.
Yeah, I don't think Max is working hard enough.
Mm.
I had some vision last night that we played, replayed a couple of times of the full forward, the young bloke for Port Adelaide who kicked three or four goals yesterday, Todd Marshall.
Todd Marshall, yep.
And his work rate, you know, is a great example. What can be done? He got away from his man. He went out, he went back, he went sideways, he did a circle, and he just dropped off his man and took an uncontested mark. That's the sort of stuff we need to have from the Saints.
I thought the Swans played him really well, having said that. I thought the McCartans did a really good job.
Yeah, they tag-teamed.
Body-wise.
One was blocking, the other one was coming over the top. It was pretty easy, but just on the Swans,
yep,
they've got their issues as well.
No doubt.
Their kicks inside forward 50. If I was doing the couch tonight, I would show 8 clips of Sydney's kicks to opposition for the easiest turnovers you've ever got. So they need to address that because, Buddy, they look more dangerous when Buddy is coming into the forward line with the ball often. They're not ballistic enough down in that forward line, and their mids aren't connecting at all well. And they're going nowhere unless they address that.
I agree with that. Let's go back. So we ticked off on Thursday night. Friday night, the story clearly seems to be Essendon. And as I said to Lloyd,
it was two games Friday night. What about the first game?
Yeah, the Dogs were good.
The Hawks were fantastic early, and then they ran out of puff and they were poor. But Western Bulldogs
ran out of real puff.
They did. They were really flat. But look, the story for me out of that was young West coming through. Best game I've seen him play. And
Riley
I see
West.
Riley got some coaches' votes.
19 disposals, 3 goals, 13 score involvements.
And Tom Liberatore continued his 2 months of fantastic form. I thought the bot was excellent as well. So they've got some players coming through.
What about Lloydie today and tonight?
Matthew Lloyd.
And the words, you know I'm big on language.
Yes.
He called Essendon soulless today.
Oh, they're not going to run to Tullamarine, are they?
No, not about that. He just thought...
A soulless performance.
Yep. He said they're a soulless team at the moment.
Okay.
And
he had plenty of soul last week, didn't
they? He was really strong on the fact that they need to heavily consider Alistair Clarkson.
Well, that's coming. And that's and Lloydie has been brave enough to be the person who put it on the table.
Yeah.
He's worried about Brett Rutten.
Ben Rutten.
Ben Rutten, I should say. Brett Rutten. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's got every right to at this stage. I mean, they're going to do a review. Well, you got a one-man review when Clarko walks into the place.
Yeah, I mean, 3-11, Jared, after 14 games, and to be second last in contested possessions and last in tackles when they're getting second, and they're second to the footy every week.
Mm-hmm.
That tells us a little bit about their intent.
Hard to believe after last week, isn't it?
And desire. Well, I mean, I can't believe I'm saying this to you. You were quite positive on Essendon last week.
I was very positive. I saw them.
Yeah, I thought the Saints were just horrible, and I thought Essendon were hot air. So I tipped West Coast. I didn't think they could do it twice in a row.
Yep.
They couldn't. And
good on West Coast.
I think they got major problems.
Major problems.
Essendon. I don't see way back for them anytime soon.
Okay.
I mean, Lloydie said they need to win 2 or 3 games and show a bit of intent in the last 8 weeks. Jeez, what have we come to? I was expecting Essendon, the ticking a box would be winning two or three out of 8.
Mm.
I mean, they should be better than that. And I don't buy into this whole theory of, oh, well, they were young and we're young and we probably shouldn't have made the finals last year. I mean, look what Collingwood are doing.
Yeah, they've got
what Fremantle did under Justin Longmuir early days.
Yes, there's some comparisons by which they fade or fail badly.
Now, I know Fremantle probably have a lot higher end talent, kid-wise, than Essendon do.
Do they?
Well, I would think that Sarong, yeah, Brayshaw.
Yes, that's one draft. That was one draft.
Yeah.
I mean, they've got McGrath as a number one pick.
Yep.
They've got
Parrish, who's
Ben,
number six.
Ben Hobbs, who's a number
nine
pick.
Yep.
I know he's only played one season or half a season. So
they've got Cox. They've got Perkins.
They've got a number of those really high-end players last
year.
Yeah,
okay. I take back what I said.
Haven't played well this year, and that's the issue. A few of them have just had a little bit of the second years. I'm a big fan of Jones. He's going to come through.
Yeah, not Harry Jones, yeah. I guess my point is, Jared, that Essendon cannot get to midway through next year.
And give us we're too young.
And then be the same. No.
No, I agree.
So they need to,
I didn't like it when I first heard it, and I hate it now.
They need to get to the end of this year somehow, and they need to either clean out all the assistant coaches, or the vast majority of them, and support Ben Rutten, or they need to change.
Well, let's give it the acid test, Scoop. We'll give it the old Roman test.
Which is?
As the gladiator stood with his sword above the failed or the fallen other gladiator, and he looked to the crowd to see whether it was thumbs up or thumbs down. We have got the crowd out the back, both of whom are mad Essendon supporters. Is it thumbs up for the coach? Or is it thumbs down? Thumbs down. Thumbs down. Okay.
Both thumbs down?
The blade is about to go straight into the breastbone.
They're tortured. Mm. Speaking of tortured, the Blues aren't...
We should work on that.
Thumbs up, thumbs down? No, I like it. The Blues aren't that anymore. And as I was mentioning to you earlier, Jared...
Have a listen to this.
I ran into Tim...
Have a listen to this.
What?
The most tortured Blues man of all time.
I'm still not convinced they can win the flag, but they could go close. Oh,
you weren't convinced they could win half a dozen games at the start of the season. Then you weren't convinced they could make the finals, and now we're talking about flags. The great thing about this is that Michael Voss has come from the wilderness. A lot of clubs could have taken Michael Voss, and he's imparted such belief in that place, and they are playing such exciting footy. Isn't it great?
Is there any validity, Jared, to the theory that... So, like, obviously I've been watching Carlton for a long time.
Yeah.
They have never been as tough and unrelenting physically as they are now.
Oh, yes, they have. But it was about 20 years ago.
Well, sorry. In that time. I said 20 years. Yeah. Is there anything in the theory that when a player like Voss comes in to coach and the way he played for 300 games, that somehow gets imparted on his troops?
Well... Look, he's got ultimate respect, but I don't think it's imparted. I think that's in all players. It's just a matter of who gets it out of him. Dennis Pagan.
So it's unlocking it.
It's unlocking it. Yep. And okay, it may help to have played like that, but you know, Malcolm Blight unlocked it at the Kangaroos initially. Didn't win a flag. He went down to Geelong. Didn't win a flag. He unlocked it in Brisbane. At Adelaide. Mm. Simon Goodwin. He wasn't Mark Ricciuto. But he unlocked it at Melbourne. I mean, I think it is a bit of an overreach. I think Paul Ruse. Look at Paul Ruse. He was the most brilliant centre half back of all time. Went to play centre half forward. He wasn't, an inside mid that knocked blokes over, etc. He coached a team that was beautifully gifted player like a Malcolm Blight. But he got his players to play like Michael Voss.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. No, I think you've given a fair few examples.
And you could go on and on and on, to be honest.
Yep. Yep, it's obviously Voss's ability to unlock a talent and an intent that was already there. We're going to take a break on Sports Day. When we come back, do we have to have the argument again? Do we have to talk about the red card again? I'm exhausted from
first. There's no argument. If you don't bring it in, you're foolish.
What? No, you can't argue like that.
Yes, you can.
You can't say my opinion's wrong, and if I don't agree with you, I'm an idiot. You can't actually say that.
I didn't say that, did I?
No, you did. You said it in the first hour. You said it was idiotic if I disagreed with you.
No, I didn't say that at all. Show me the tape.
We'll have to go back to the tape. More Sports Day after this.
Speaking to him post-game, I mean, I've known Tom for a long time. He is a scrupulously fair player and just a fantastic, strong character, fundamental to what we do at Geelong. You know, I think when my time's come and gone, I'll look back and say I was honoured to know and to coach Tom Stewart. And that's partly because when I spoke to him post-game, he said, I've just made a horrible error and I feel terrible about it. I said, okay. He said, I ran past the ball and I chose to bump. I didn't mean to do it, but gee, it was terrible execution and I'm going to pay the price for it. And I wouldn't normally be this expansive, but I thought it speaks to the man. He knows he's done the wrong thing. Was it deliberate? Of course it wasn't. He's made an error, and as people do that I admire, he's prepared to stand up and say, I was wrong. Now, it doesn't help them. You know, the idea of restorative justice still exists. Like, they lose one of their best players. Where, you know, we don't run away from that fact, but he should have some comfort in the fact that that's not him, and it was an error of execution and nothing more.
Welcome back to Sports Day. That was an expansive Chris Scott after the game talking about Tom Stewart, who will find out his fate tomorrow night.
I thought he summed it up really well. I mean, I don't think anybody out there thinks he's a thug. I think most people thought he miscalculated and it wasn't a deliberate smashing to the head, but that's what happened. So he's going to pay the price.
Do you think, Jared, Jake's away for a couple of weeks, Jake Nile, so I'm doing the podcast with Caro and Gleese. I was one out in this argument today. Do you think that it should have been graded as intentional? Or are you satisfied with the careless grading?
I think it was probably careless. I don't think he intentionally meant to KO him. I don't think that's in him. So, yes, I'd say it's careless.
So I mounted the same argument that I think it would be difficult to prove that Tom intentionally tried to hit him in the head with his shoulder when he went after him. Gleese's point, which I thought was fair and reasonable, was that given that the AFL has been trying to recondition players to offer a duty of care to their opponents, and you know, you've been strong on this, as strong as anyone in the game, about head-high contact and how we need to
change behaviours.
Change behaviours about what's appropriate. He made the point that what Tom actually did, whether he hit him in the head or not, was not reasonable, given that Dion had clearly handballed the ball earlier and that Tom needed to offer Dion a duty of care, and that is by either missing him or slowing down.
I don't disagree with that, but that doesn't mean he deliberately meant to hit him in the head. He deliberately meant to hit him.
No,
but I don't think he deliberately meant to hit him in the head.
No, I agree, but Gleese's point was it could have been classified as unduly rough conduct.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, in which case he was intending to cause a reportable offence by making contact in the first place.
Yes, but not in the head.
No, I agree.
So it's a fine line, but you asked me whether he intentionally hit him in the head, and I don't think he did.
I agree. I think it's careless.
But ultimately, the guts of this is, should there be a red card? I've argued for 30 years there should be a red card. No. And there's only probably been, you keep saying no, but let me finish my point. There's only been probably four or five incidents that come to mind.
Yep.
Clearly Barry Hall, he had no right to be on the ground. He gave up his right to be on the ground when King hit that person.
Completely agree with that.
I don't think anybody in Australia could misinterpret what happened there if it was put to them. Andrew Gaff, same. Ty Vickery, when he KO'd Dean Cox, he got 4 weeks. There's one or two others who don't come quickly to mind, but they're the sorts of incidents that I don't think there is any shadow of a doubt that they could be got wrong. And they're the incidents that should be that a red card should be for. Anything with a level of confusion or debate, well, they leave that to the tribunal.
Was that a red card on the weekend?
Oh, it was absolutely a red card. I mean, you ran past the ball.
You're allowed to run past the ball.
You KO'd him in the head, and you're responsible for the actions. Not only is it unjust on Richmond, it's just ridiculous that you should have a player out there that could cause retribution and even further demonstrative stuff from the Tigers, which creates potentially other injuries and another fracas. And I've argued this for a long time, and as I said earlier, for Gill to have his head in the sand on this for his whole reign, I find disappointing. In fact, if I was made the footy manager like Brad Scott was a few months ago, it would be on day one. It'd be on an agenda for it to be changed. It is that simplistic and it is that obvious that it has to come in that I find I don't really respect the counter-argument.
It's not simplistic at all. You tell me right now how it's simplistic.
Well, I think that if you have the threshold as high as I would have it, for incidents that are 100% clearly you are guilty, There's no coming back. There's no confusion.
But, Jared,
you're out.
You're talking as one of the leading experts that this game has seen in the last 50 years. The people who are making that decision aren't that.
I don't think you need to be an expert to know that Barry Hall KO'd his opponent.
But Barry Hall's not the same as Tom Stewart.
I don't. Well, I think.
Does Lachie Plowman get a red card for last year?
Lachie Plowman was not in this same category.
Oh, it's not far off, though.
I think it's a fair way off.
Okay.
I think there was a fair bit of debate about whether he should be suspended or not. Half the footy community thought not suspended. There is not one person in the footy community.
Yeah, but what if two umpires thought he should have got a red card?
There is not one person in the footy community that thinks Barry Hall should have got off.
I agree, but that's one in a million.
Not one thought Andrew Gaff should get off.
No, but there'd be plenty of people that said he was trying to hit him in the stomach.
In the stomach and he got him in the head.
Yeah.
Well, that's like arguing that Tom Stewart could have bumped him shoulder to shoulder, but he got him in the head. If there's a guy going off on a stretcher...
But it's not the same as Barry Hall turning around and belting someone at point-blank range.
But the outcome is the same.
Yeah, but the action's not.
I know the action's not, and that's why Barry Hall got 8 weeks, and Tom Stewart's probably going to get 4 weeks. But the outcome is the same. If a guy's getting carried off on a stretcher, there is plenty of time for the three umpires to go over, ask for the vision, and say, yep, we're satisfied... This player has no right to be on the ground. End of story. But the main issue, Scoop, is that they were 17 points up and threw away 4 points. I mean, if they won that game, we would be talking about them as premiership contenders.
We both tipped the Tigers, didn't we?
We both tipped the Tigers. And at the 17-minute mark, I turned off and said, well, that's one tip.
So did I. That is exactly what happened with me.
Yep,
there were 17 points up, and I was meeting a friend for dinner.
I had to go to work.
And he was picking me up. And in the 4 minutes it took me to get from the couch to his car...
Yes.
He said Geelong are in front.
Yep.
I said, what?
Amazing.
Anyway, amazing win from the Cats, to be honest. I did find it quite funny that Chris Scott gave Tom Stewart 4 coaches' votes.
And yes.
Damien Hardwick gave him none. Or maybe it was the other way around.
Well, if you actually go through those coaches' votes, there's been a couple of anomalies in the coaches' votes.
You've been strong on this for months.
For a couple of years, I just like the permutations. Liam Baker got a 5 and a 4, so I assume he got the 5 from the Tigers.
Yes.
Tyson Stengel got a 6. Mm. So bear in mind, there is a 5 from Geelong floating. So Mark Blitzars has got a 5. So either he's got the 5 from Geelong or Tyson Stengel's got the 5 from Geelong. So if Tyson Stengel's got the 5 from Geelong, he actually only got a 1 from Richmond.
Mm.
Blitzarve's got 5. That's probably a 2 and a 3, but it may well not be. Tom Stewart got a 4, a 4 only from Geelong.
Mm.
And then the rest were just make-dos, 1s and 2s.
Jared,
the one that interests me, though, Scoop, and I know we're not doing this particular game. But
no, it's all right. We can jump around.
The last game.
Yes, Port Adelaide Gold Coast.
Connor Rozee. I didn't think there was a standout player that was best on the ground, but if I had to give BOG, I would have given it to Connor Rozee. He got 10.
Okay.
I wouldn't have given Tuke Miller a vote.
How many did he get?
He got 8.
Wow.
So he got 4s from both clubs.
2 4s, yeah.
2 4s. I thought he was okay. I thought he was competitive. I thought he had some real bad patches where he got tagged a bit. He got a couple of nice clearances, so he may have slipped in for a 1 vote, but I thought he was – sometimes your reputation helps you. Maybe it's me. Maybe I just got it completely wrong. Todd Marshall, to me, he got a 6, so I assume he's got 2 3s. So we've got 2 5s, 2 4s, Tuke Muller got 8. Todd Marshall got 3rd best by both. I reckon he was probably better than that. He was – in the end, goal-kicking was the difference. He kicked straight, and Marbia Chol hit the post twice. I mean, therein lies the game outside a really poor umpiring decision at the end.
Which one?
The lack of intent with 3 seconds of play, that had to be a free kick.
After the boundary throwing?
Yeah, it was a handball after the long kick in from Charlie Ballard.
Yep.
It fell to...
Yes. Well, it could have been a sliding free kick, it could have been a hold on Rankin, and it could have been lack of intent.
Oh, absolutely. It was...
Yep.
Probably. I argue that I can cope with the other two. They were arguably not there. But those umpires, they did not want to pay a decision.
Before we go.
And the last one was 100% deliberate.
Okay. Before we go, I don't want to end on a downer. Did you watch the North Melbourne game?
No, I didn't put myself through it.
Right.
I saw about 30 minutes of it.
It was tough to watch.
That was enough.
After halfway through the second quarter, they were competitive for the first quarter and a half.
I was listening whilst I was preparing for my game. I heard David King say that Taron Thomas... needs to give us a response because he showed no interest whatsoever.
We find two handballs the half time.
There's been a death in the family.
Shouldn't have played then.
You either can deal with that, and some people can, or you don't. But don't play and play without intent.
Yep. And then you know, he was getting into arguments on social media afterwards.
Yeah, no, it was a mess. It's the whole place is messy at the moment.
Telling people that he was earning 10 times more than they were. It's unfortunately for North Melbourne, not only has there been shocking form, which has resulted in a string of heavy losses, but there have just been these other little incidents following them around. You know, like Horn Francis and, you know, like
the recruiting department,
like what's happened with the recruiting department walking out. And then you've got Taron Thomas getting into Blues with nobodies on social
media. Taron
Thomas
being dropped.
Stevenson being dropped twice.
Jason Horn Francis being dropped.
Yeah, it's not a happy place at the moment. And I feel for everyone down there, Jared.
Yes, so do I.
I really do. It's a shocking place to be.
Been in a club like that at one stage.
Yeah.
And it's a really tough, tough year. The question is, the longevity of that place is always under the microscope.
You agreed.
Because their footprint on the competition is not a big one. They've been a transient team for a long period of time. They've been here. Nomadic team is the right word I'm looking for. They're playing Tasmania. No one turns up in Tasmania.
5,072 there.
No one cares about North Melbourne in Tasmania.
No, I would agree with that.
So,
which is why the idea of relocating them to Tasmania is a fraudulent one.
Oh, it just lacks any common sense in many respects.
Completely agree.
And it also, when someone writes a book, and I bet you the Herald Sun or the Age do a story on it, when they look at why didn't the Kangaroos take the $100 million offer and go to Queensland? It's one of the most unfortunate decisions in footy's history, in my view.
And plenty of senior people at North Melbourne would disagree with you.
Oh, plenty would agree, because it was a split vote.
Yeah,
at the board. It was 49-51.
It got very close.
And there's a lot of people, a lot of decades, a lot of generational North Melbourne supporters who are friends of mine. They still shake their head as to why they didn't go.
And, as I wrote in the paper today, things don't get much easier for them because they're down the highway to the Cattery on the weekend.
Good luck.
We're going to chat all things Origin and Storm with the godfather of the Melbourne Storm, Frank Panisi, next. Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy. If you're moving house, call your local energy retailer Red Energy. And for Wilson Homes, celebrating the biggest cash discount ever. Now, Jared, when we talk buy rounds in the AFL footy, usually it's about players misbehaving.
Normally.
Doing things they shouldn't do.
Oh, some of the things they like doing.
Maybe having a couple too many beers.
A few reds.
I wonder how the godfather of the Storm, Frank Panisi, enjoyed his break. Because, of course, Origin break, which means not a break for the players who are good enough to be part of it, but New South Wales sending it to game three. They belted Queensland, but surely Frank got a little break in.
He'd get a break in. He would have done the gardening. He would have pulled out all the weeds. He would have painted the fence.
Would he have got a little overseas trip in, do you think?
I reckon he would have got the gurney out and sprayed the driveway. There would have been two or three other things that his good wife would have had on the list for him to have done before they get in the car and go somewhere. Now, where is the somewhere? Ooh. Let's find out. Frank Panisi joins us. Good afternoon to you, Frank, or good evening.
G'day, Jared. Yeah, same with self, Sam. No, it was probably in between all that. Certainly not an overseas jaunt or trip, but certainly got away from home. So, no, kept it in-house. Went to regional Victoria.
Yep.
Kept it all in-house. Proud Victorian these days, so let's keep our money in Victoria.
Right, down to Phillip Island to see the Penguins, or to Port Campbell, where my mates all hang out to see the 12 Apostles. Or did countryside?
More countryside, but in between Dalesford and Hepburn Springs.
Okay.
Really easy.
Sounds like you drank a lot of red wine to me. When you didn't go there just for the hot springs, you could run a hot bath at home, Frank.
Yeah, I'm going to be guilty of that, unfortunately, Jared. But needed a wait. Good mid-season break. But look forward to coming back and for the second half of the season. So excited what lays ahead.
Okey-doke. Let's tick off on how the Storm players went last night, beginning with Cameron Munster, who didn't have his best.
No, he didn't. It was, played behind a well-beaten pack.
Yep.
He's pulled up a bit sore, unfortunately.
Shoulder?
Again, that's one of the shoulders. So he's going to be touch and go for Thursday night. He's probably looking more unlikely than likely to play, but he's recovers well. So we'll just see how he's not as bad as probably we thought he was last night, but whether he plays on Thursday night, it's very much a 50-50 at this stage. But the other two players pulled up well, both Felice Kaufusi Harry Grant, obviously, very disappointed with the result, especially after the first game. But they'll be definitely playing on Thursday night.
44-12 victory to the Blues. It was pretty one-sided. I mean, it was competitive early, but when the dam broke, it flooded.
Yeah, it was an extraordinary game, Jared. Like at just before halftime, Queensland were winning 12-8, and then you know, our own Felice Kaufusi, I thought, harshly got sent to the sin bin about 3 minutes before halftime. And at that stage, it was very much a 50-50 game. It was it ebbed and flowed, and then they scored just before halftime, 14-12. But they had to then withstand another 8 minutes with only 12 men, with a man being down. And they fought bravely, but it just took a lot out of them. And as you said, it was a great expression. Even when Felice came back, they were that fatigued and the dam open, and they were disappointing. I thought they did so well handling playing with 12 men. Given it was a harsh decision, but after that, no, they just didn't have an answer. But yeah, the Blues were pretty impressive.
Frank, are you a supporter of sending a man off so the opposition is one man short? We had an incident on the weekend where I think we're amiss as a code not to have a send-off rule. But I don't like being one man down. Where do you sit on that?
No, it definitely ruined the spectacle. Yeah, and it wasn't a clear-cut one. I think, look, if it's a what we call in our game, when it's a professional foul, a player purposely holds a player back from scoring or the team's going to score, that's obvious that's a professional foul.
Yep.
Felice Kaufusi last night was sent to the sin bin because Queensland had repeated infringements on their try line. But it was a real subjective call and there was no official warning. He was sent. So I just think it was so subjective, and I just think it was such a grey area. It was a tough one, but look, the way the game is now, to play one man short, it's a gross disadvantage. So unless it's obvious, no, I'm not a fan of it.
Yep, I think you've summarised it pretty well, Frank. Hey, so Sea Eagles on Thursday night, you accounted for them earlier in the year. Just looks like you're starting to get a few players back. Is this when the whips start to get cracking, Frank?
Well, we're probably just going to get through this next couple of weeks tricky period because we're still in the origin period, so we've got the players backing up. And it wasn't just the origin players. We had five players playing for New Zealand on Saturday, and
we had a Fijian,
and we had a Papua New Guinean. So we've got 10 players backing up from the weekend with only a four-day break. So we've got to get through this tricky period, and then the following Thursday we don't have our origin players when we play the Sharks. And then the following game after that, I think it's the Raiders, we've got a short turnaround after Origin 3. We've just got to get through this tricky period and then give them all a decent break. And then hopefully after that, that's when we can really start to build some form going in the finals. But it's just about navigating and getting through this tricky period.
I was listening to the build-up to the game on the way home from my duties last night, Frank, and I must admit I was a bit perplexed at a couple of the experts. I'm not sure who they were. They're on SEN talking about the lead-up and the whys and the wherefores of arriving in town on Monday as against arriving in town on Thursday, which I believe one of the sides did, and there was a bit of a debate as to which was the best and maybe it was going to, you know, impact high performance. And I thought to myself, come on, fellas, don't you guys realise that in the AFL, these guys go from Perth to Sydney and Perth to Melbourne on a regular basis the day before? I thought it was a bit of an overkill. Maybe that's what happens at State of Origin time. We treat it like it's something above what happens on a regular basis.
Yeah, look, I totally agree with you, Jared. And these players, they do it all the time. We travel to New Zealand, we travel to Townsville. Yeah. They're big trips, so it's not like you're not used to travelling. So, and it's horses for courses. I mean, some teams prefer to get there early and be settled for the week. You know, Billy with his team, it was a fair call. They've been very settled for the first game up there on the Gold Coast. They know their surroundings, warmer weather. They chartered a flight going over. So I don't think either decision by the New South Wales to stay there for a week compared to Queensland not to.
Yeah,
I think it made absolutely no difference to the result or the performance.
Spot on. Look forward to talking to you next week, Frank, on the back of another win. I know it's going to be a difficult challenge given the probable omissions, but as always, we expect you to fire up and play well against the Eagles.
Much appreciated, Jared.
Frank Panisi, straight from the Dalesford Hot Springs.
Welcome back to Sports Day. We're here for Red Energy in Wilson Homes. Earlier tonight, Jared and myself were joined by the one, the only, Matthew Lloyd in studio after what was a massive round 15.
Nothing I can say now justifies the actions that I showed on the day, but my immediate response was just to make sure Dion was okay. I'm sort of at the mercy of the tribunal now, and as I said, I understand that it was a poor act and a poor decision by myself, but I have to live with that now, and that, I think that's the hardest thing for me.
That's Tom Stewart speaking to both 7 and 9 News today on the way into training. I must say, taking the incident out of it, I thought what Chris Scott said after the game and I thought what Tom Stewart said right there is the only way and the best way to handle it. And that is immediate contrition, hand up, did the wrong thing, whatever the tribunal decides will be the outcome. I thought he handled that very classily today, Tom Stewart.
Yeah, it doesn't make it right, but being there on the day, he was, the moment it happened, he was, the play's going on, he was looking over, he was wanting to get over there just to check in with Dion.
Yeah.
And then the moment Dion was being carried off, he sprinted back over there. Dion and the trainers were in no state to listen to Tom, but he was trying to say, I just wanted to say, I'm sorry. You could see there on the night, the day, what he wanted to do. So knew straight away the mistake he made. And I think 3's not enough. 5 would be heavy, but I'd cop 5 over 3. Mm. So, 4 sits about right, as you said earlier, Sam.
Yep. It sounds like
just had a caller ring through. Brooksy, clearly a Bulldogs fan. He said some of the examples of send-off for the last 5 years. Indeed it is. Stewart on Prestia. Basher Hurley on Jed Lamb. Bug on Mills. Andrew Gaff on Andrew Brayshaw.
Yep.
Cameron on Harris Andrews.
Yep.
And James Sicily taking Norton's headband off on the way.
Did you think he should have got fined for that?
Bulldog. I didn't like it, to be honest. I just don't think people should go near what other people are wearing.
Yeah, it was an interesting game from James Sicily. I thought he was badly beaten. It was an act of frustration in many ways. He was trying to get under his skin. But, you know, he was involved in a lot of push and shove, and he gave away about 3 or 4 goals with poor kicking errors, and they need him at his best to, to be competitive. And they were so exciting for the first 40 minutes of that game. And, gee, they fell away badly.
They did. And Liberatore, I thought, turned that game. So Jack Viney on Thursday night and Liberatore, Jared. I don't know if they got the perfect 10s, those two. Have you got that
Liber got 10.
And did Jack Viney get the perfect 10?
Jack Viney got 10.
Yeah.
Sicily did get fined $1,000.
Yes.
And Riley West, I thought, was the best game. It was a breakthrough game from him. He got 7 votes, and I think they were – absolutely deserved. Sam Walsh got the 10. There's another 10. Liam Baker got 9. Tyson Stengel got 6. And Blitzarv's got 5. Tom Stewart got 4 only.
Did Stewart get 4 from one and 0 from the other?
0 from the other, not unexpectedly.
Oh. So Damien Hardwick's giving him 4 and Chris Scott's forgotten about him. Is that what's happened?
I don't think that's what happened.
Oh, I see.
Jake Lloyd got 10, which he was a very good player on the day. Ollie Florent, one of his better games. And Taylor Walker got 10.
Oof.
Darcy Cameron just continues to improve with 9 votes. And finally, Connor Rozee, he got the 10. I thought Tuke Miller a little bit generous, him getting the 8. I didn't think it was Tuke's best game.
We talk about Essendon. I read Mark Robinson's really strong column in the Herald Sun today. I thought he made a fairly poignant point, and that was they got beaten by West Coast, who haven't beaten anyone, on Friday night, and yet no one was really talking about it.
No.
Lloydie, you're pretty careful with the words that you use. You use the word soulless on the AFL website today with Damo. Was there something about Friday night? Was it because it was off the back of a good performance that got you
just
so
been
flat?
Such a disappointing year, Sam. So, St Kilda was a spike the week before, but 3 wins, 11 losses, 78%. Like, that's across the year. So you can get up for a week. Yeah, but then you want to see what happens the week after. And they won a lot of statistics, but still conceded 107 points. They're one of the worst contested ball sides in the comp. They're one of the worst.
Second last,
one of the worst tackling sides.
Last in tackles.
Last in the comp. So who are they? What's their brand? What do they stand for?
Ben Rutten continuously says they want to be a pressure team.
Yeah, and remember we heard blue collar about a month ago.
Blue collar bombers.
So what's blue collar about all those numbers where they're ranked bottom 2, Jared? So
Do you buy into all this? You kind of started it, Jared. Do you buy into this conversation around they have to look at Clarkson?
Well, if I'm in anybody's shoes that's had a poor season and Alistair Clarkson is available, I'm looking into Alistair Clarkson. I mean, I think that goes across the board, and I don't think that's any shock or horror. And I think the fact that an Essendon man like Lloydie says it gives it a lot more gravitas. And if I say it, but Lloydie's He's worried about his footy club and he's worried about the mix, the leadership of the club, clearly. And I think, you know, it's a brave comment from Lloydie, but it's well-founded, I think.
I just feel like it'll be another year where they go, okay, we were pretty young. We were a young side. But you got to look deeper than that and go, what is going wrong with us? Why can't we?
Always great to hear from Lloydie. He's off to classify. They're live on Go tonight.
Well, how long has it taken to work that out?
I like the live on Go. Oh,
crazy not to have been on Go.
I like it.
I mean, I think it's madness, Scoop, that they don't treat those stations as genuine stations. Have it live so your average person can see it without sort of getting insomnia.
Whilst I support Footy Classified, I also show unwavering to support to the management of the Nine Network and have always been grateful for my opportunities. That does us for this Monday evening, Jared. You don't have to go to the couch because your life has got a lot
so much better
since. We'll see you tomorrow.
I'm very relaxed on Monday.